You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God, which you're about to receive.
Glory. Everybody ready for the Word?
Amen.
If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Genesis 13. I started a series on vision. This has been an interesting series because I think I started it several weeks ago, and then we had Thanksgiving, and then we had John Paul, and then I started back on it, and then I went to Michigan. Now I'm back on it again. So actually, I could preach the first message again. You wouldn't remember it anyway. But no, that's not. I'm kidding. But I talked about Proverbs 29:18, which says, without a vision, the people perish, but he that keeps the law happy is he. Remember, we started out on that. And everyone needs a vision. You need to have hope. You need to keep hope alive. I don't know what you're going through or where you are. It doesn't matter your age. It doesn't matter your occupation. It doesn't matter what you're facing or what you're believing. You need to keep hope alive. You need to believe. You need to trust God. In fact, the Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. Amen. And Jesus said, when he comes, will the Son of Man find faith on the earth? Without faith, Hebrews 11:6, it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. It pays to pray. It pays to believe God. Yes. It pays to trust God, to turn it over to God. So don't lose hope and don't lose faith. Amen. Hope is just what we have faith in. Our faith in God, but our faith is in God that what we hope for will come to pass. In other words, we have a promise from God's word that gives us hope, and we believe the promise, and believing the promise keeps hope alive. That makes sense? Hebrews 11:1 says that now faith is the substance of things hoped for. So you first have to have a desire and expectancy, but you know that's not enough. You got to just start there. You got to keep hope alive to have an expectancy, but it's faith in God's word that puts reality to or substance to what you're hoping for. Everybody dreams. Everybody wishes their life were better, but you know what? They give up. They lose their expectancy. And we as Christians have God's promises to believe and stand on, that this hope, this desire, this want we have actually is based on some solid evidence. God said he would do this, and so we can actually believe for it to happen. It's not dreamland. It's not fantasy world. I can have a better life. I can have a better marriage. I can get out of this mess financially. I can go to heaven. Hallelujah. Amen. I can be used by God. My ministry, if God's placed a calling on my life in particular, it can grow and it can expand. Doesn't matter where I am. You know, we're in Wills Point, Texas. This might be a small town, but we don't serve a small God. See, what you don't want to do when you're in a small town is get small town thinking. See, what we need to do wherever we are is have big God thinking. Amen. It doesn't matter whether in big town, small town. I know people in big towns have small God thinking. Hello. So you just have big God thinking. That's what it is. It doesn't matter about the mountain. What matters is about our God. He's big. Amen. Amen. So we talked about that, and we went into Habakkuk 2, where it says that Habakkuk says, I'll stand upon my watch. I'll listen and see what God says to me and what I shall answer when he speaks to me. And the Lord said, write the vision, make it plain upon tables, so he that readeth may run with it. And He did just that. He took some time to find out what God said. That's the first thing all of us need to do, is find out what God says. Amen? And then listen to what he's saying. And then let's answer that. Let's write it down and make it plain, and let's run with it. Let's fight, as the word came here today. Let's fight. Let's don't just say it. Let's don't just, you know, okay, I assent to that. No, let's give ourselves to the vision. Let's get busy working toward the goal, making some plans, as it were. What is it going to take to achieve that goal? What do you need to do to get there? Hallelujah. Good question. Amen. Have you thought about that? What are some steps that will take you there? You want a better life spiritually? Well, start praying a little more. Start reading a little more. Start getting a little more faithful in church. Are you with me? And I was preaching to the choir. Y'all all here. Thank you for coming. Hallelujah. So start making plans. And then we went into Proverbs 4. Remember that? My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear to my sayings. Proverbs 4:20. And then we went through all that, how that you keep it in your heart and don't get sidetracked. Stay focused. Prepare your path before you, as it were. Start making preparations. You know, I believe I'm called to preach. I pretty well figured it out by now. I'm called to teach. I'm a teacher, not just a preacher. I'm a teacher, not just a pastor. I'm a teacher. I got that. I figured that out a long time ago, actually. I had a vision. God showed me that. And I've been faithful to that. I haven't been perfect, but I've been faithful to study and to pray and to seek God. I'm always thinking about preaching and ministering and messages. And you just point, tell me where to stand. I'll preach anywhere, anytime. I am ready. Are you with me? That's just what I do. Hallelujah. And I do it out of the overflow. But what I'm saying is I'm always preparing. I'm always reading. I'm still doing that. I've been pastoring 33 years. I still love the Bible. I still read the Bible. Duh. Hello. I still read a lot of books. You know, a lot of books about the Bible and so on and so forth. I'm doing things that are I'm running with it, in other words. I'm doing things that enhance that, help that. You know, live your life in a manner that's going to bring your goals and dreams to pass. Don't do things that are going to hinder and stop you from achieving your goals and your dreams. Amen? What is it that you're believing for? You know, whatever it is, do the things that are going to help you get there. You know, it could be if you're believing for health that you maybe need to eat a little better. You know, I don't know. I'm just, oh boy, I quit preaching, got to meddling there. It could be you need to exercise a little. I don't know. I'm just saying whatever the thing is. If it's finances, maybe you need to start looking at your finances and start putting money aside and be careful what you buy or purchase. Are you with me? Quit looking at the sale paper every day. Oh, boy. Brent's going to get on to me when I leave here already. It could be that. Could be something else. I mean, whatever it is, you know, start making plans. Ask God to give you wisdom on what to do, steps to take. Amen. Goals to achieve, short-term, mid-term, long-term goals. What can I do today that'll head me in that direction? That makes sense, doesn't it? I mean, because God rules by principles. You reap what you sow. Why don't we start sowing a little? We'll reap a lot. Then sow a lot more. Then we'll reap a lot more. Amen. So we went through all that in Proverbs 4. Now, Genesis 13. Y'all found it? Yes. Or did I tell you that at the beginning? Yeah, Genesis 13. Here's an example of God trying to put vision in someone. In other words, trying to direct someone toward vision and getting him to think differently. If you're going to have vision, you got to start thinking differently. You got to start thinking differently than you are. If you have no vision, doesn't take a lot of snap figure out, you're going to have to start thinking differently. Because the way you're thinking is why you don't have vision. Amen? What you're meditating on, what you're talking about, is why you don't have vision. You can't, you know, John and I were talking about this earlier. He was ministering to somebody this week about some things in somebody else's life he was ministering to, and the guy was still talking about those things that he got delivered from. Well, you can't just keep talking about it, and you can't keep bringing up things and the same thought patterns, the same, you know, the same way you used to talk and expect to change. You need to change your friends. You need to change the way you talk. You need to change the jokes you tell. Stay with me. If you have a problem in an area, quit bringing the problem back up, even in kidding about it constantly, because you're always reminding yourself of it. You know, that's the problem I have. Thank God for Alcoholics Anonymous, AA. I mean, I've got relatives that got sobered up through. I think they do a tremendous work, so don't take what I'm saying wrong. But there is just one premise that I have a problem with. Hello, I'm Bob. I'm an alcoholic. Every single time you get up, you reinforce your weakness and your problem. I think it'd be a whole lot better to say, hello, I'm Bob. I'm an overcomer. Are you with me? Because what you're doing then, you're breaking that thought pattern. You're breaking that cycle. You're seeing yourself differently than you saw yourself before. And actually, you're seeing yourself in light of God's Word. Amen? Now, granted, don't take another drink if you've had trouble with alcohol. I got that. If you're having trouble with it, stay away from it. Don't touch it. I'm not saying that's all good stuff. Alcoholics Anonymous has some great, great teaching along those lines. But I beg to differ with the identity deal. My identity is wrapped up in Christ. Are you with me? I am a Christian. Hallelujah. So if we're going to obtain a vision, as it were, if we're going to get a vision, let's follow closely and see some steps here that took place. Genesis 13, this is where Lot's shepherds and Abraham's shepherds, Abram at that time, they were having strife between them. And I mean, they had lots of shepherds and they had lots of sheep. We're talking probably a couple thousand people walking around here with Abraham. It wasn't Abraham, Sarah, Lot, and a pup tent. In fact, he had 318 trained men born in his house in the 14th chapter. Remember that? Now, if you got 318 men trained for war born in your house, they had parents. You do the math, okay? They probably had sisters. Many of them probably were married and had kids themselves. They were so great when they went into Egypt. I mean, the king would look at them and say, wow, we need to make a pact with this guy because we don't want them coming against us. See, we often have this picture of Abraham just wandering through the desert with nothing, and yet it was a huge amount of people. And here, his nephew Lot, his herdsmen were arguing with Abram's herdsmen. And Abram said, let not this strife be between us. You just pick out some land you want to go to. I'll pick out land I want to go to. And whatever you pick, you can have, and I'll take what's left. Which, what happened was, he picked out the best land. In fact, it says, if you're in the 13th chapter, 10th verse, and Lot lifted up his eyes, and behold, all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest into Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan. He picked the best looking land. Of course, he picked Sodom and Gomorrah, because all that glitters is not gold. Are you with me? Now I'm thinking, here's Abram thinking, why did I tell him that? Why would I let him have the coin tossed? They're going to receive. You know, I let him make the first pick. But God visited him, because God's not limited to that. Getting this? He's not limited to all of our schemes and scams and all of our plans. He's not limited to anything. It says in the 14th verse, and the Lord said to Abraham after that Lot was separated from him, lift up your eyes now and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward. I want you to think about this. He was trying to get Abram, and he did get him to do this, to look from where he was. I don't know where you are, but you need to look from where you are. Are you out there? Vision and dreams and obtaining a vision comes from looking from where you are. It's not looking at where you are. It's not looking at what's going on in your life. It's not looking at the place you're at. It's looking from where you are. It's looking out from where you are. So you got to start there. So what happens is we just look where we are. Well, we got this going on and we are here and we're looking at this. Well, that's the problem. We're not looking from where we are. We're looking at where we are. And when you get in the Word of God and you get in prayer and you start seeking God, all of a sudden there is a whole new horizon opens up before you. There are all kinds of possibilities out there that you haven't dreamed or imagined. You start seeing things you never saw before. Like 2 Corinthians 4:18, we look not to things which are seen where we are. We look at the things which are not seen from where we are. For the things which are seen where we are temporal or temporary. You can write this down. Whatever's going on in your life and wherever you are is temporary. But the things which are not seen, they are eternal. 2 Corinthians 4:18 tells us that. So it says here, in God speaking, and we need to take this message to ourselves. We ought to take this to heart. God is just stirring Abram to wherever he is, whatever's going on in his life, whatever he's dealing with, whatever he's going through, you need to look from where you are. See, it's not so important where we are. I mean, I'm not discounting getting right and all those things. But wherever we are, you know what the most important thing is? Is what direction we're moving. Amen. What direction are we going? If we're headed a certain direction, hallelujah, then where we are is kind of irrelevant, isn't it? I mean, it's just a starting point. It's not where we're staying. We may be here, we're not staying here. We may be down, but we're not staying down. Amen? We may be sick, but we're not staying sick. We may be poor, we're not staying poor. And I've said it many times, it's not a sin to be poor, but it is a sin to stay there. Are you with me? It's not a sin to be depressed, but it is a sin to stay there. It's a sin not to get out of it, not to rise up, not to fight that thing. God is looking for fighters. He's looking for soldiers. He's looking for people that will believe him and trust him. He's looking for faith, hallelujah. He's looking for people with vision that see more than what's going on here. You know what a supervisor is? It just comes from, you know, supervisor has supervision. Get it? You know, the super, whoever is in a position of supervision is someone who has supervision. Super is over. A supervisor sees more. He oversees. He's often called the overseer. Does that make sense? Not a play on words. That's where the word came from. We just lost the meaning of it. So, you know, if you wanna be over instead of under, you need supervision. You need somebody to take you in and take care of you. Your vision needs to be super. Amen. You need to have better vision. You need to see more than you're seeing right now. You need to oversee. You need to see over what's going on. Oh, hallelujah. Man, that'll preach, amen. I just preach myself happy here. Glory. You got to see what others don't see. You'll remember me sharing that about Roger Bannister, that medical student. Remember a couple weeks ago I shared that? No one had broke the 4-minute mile, and it couldn't be done. They're all saying it couldn't be done. You know what happened? He saw the possibility of breaking it. He didn't pay attention to all those words. He saw what no one else saw, and he broke that record. He broke the 4-minute mile record in 1954. We shared this a couple weeks ago. And in two years' time, 213 people broke that record. All of a sudden, they started seeing something they'd never seen before. Everybody said it couldn't be done, so there was no hope, right? You just can't make it. You know what? You were raised this way. You know your family's this way. You know you have these circumstances in your life. You know this, right? Nobody ever beats this. You're not going to get over this deal. It's just one of those things. This is the hand that was dealt you. This is your cross to bear. This is your thorn in the flesh. This is your old Job's yellow turkey. I mean, there's nothing in the world you can do about this. You're never going to come out of this mess. You can't come out of this mess. Come on, face reality. Be real. Quit living on pipe dreams and all those kind of things. Listen to all those people quoting the Bible. Hello. See, you'll start buying that lie. You'll start saying, well, I guess so. I guess not. I guess I'll just deal with it. I'll live with it. You know, we're enduring a whole lot of things we ought to be overcoming. We really are. We're just trying to put up with. And whatever you put up with is going to continue in your life, period. Whatever you tolerate is going to dominate. Whatever you tolerate is going to continue. Quit tolerating it. Overcome it. Amen. Get some vision about you. Hallelujah. Start believing God. Notice what it says, 16 verse. I will make your seed as the dust of the earth. Here he was. He had no kids. And he's not a young man. He was 75 when God called him in the 12th chapter. This is the 13th chapter. And as you well know, he was 100 before Isaac was born. But he told him, he said, I'll make your seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Wow. Arise, walk through the land and the length of it and the breadth of it, for I will give it to you. I'm telling you, this is a word from God. You need to walk through the length and the breadth of God's promises. And whatever you walk through and whatever you put your foot on, that's what's going to come to pass for you. But if you don't get up, if you don't look from where you are, and then you don't start walking in what God's saying, it won't happen. And it won't be God's fault. In fact, God wants you to have it all that time that you're not having it. God wants you to make it when you don't make it. God loves you when you're not even faithful and not even standing on his word. God wants to shake you, and I want to shake you. God wants to stir you. He wants to rekindle the flame in your heart. Many of us probably have given up on our dreams, you know, given up on achieving what we set out to do or what we're believing for or what we're praying for. Don't quit. Don't give up. Don't throw the towel in. It's just around the corner. It's still true. The word's still true. Amen. It's still true. You just need to get up. You need to look from where you are, and you need to start walking around in this thing. Start walking and talking. Start making plans. Amen. You know, from this, just 14th through the 17th verse, you see where he looked up. You got to look up to God. And then looked out. You got to look around. After you look up to God, you ought to look around. Get up on your roof. Amen. Start looking around. Looking up, thanking God, and looking around. Then once you start looking around, you can have what you see. 15th verse, for all the land you see, to thee will I give it. If you can't see it, it's not going to happen. You catch that? You ever said that? Well, I just can't see that ever happening. Well, yeah, it won't. It won't. That's exactly right. I agree with you. And I'm not, you know, I'm not prophesying. I'm just saying, as long as that's what we're saying, and as long as we can't see it, it's not going to happen. We got to see it for it to happen. We got to have vision, because without a vision, we perish. We got to see ourselves doing that. We got to see ourselves being that. We got to see ourselves achieving that, whatever God said, or it won't happen. You know, I used to sit at Lakewood, and I didn't realize it at the time, but I'd gotten saved. Brenda had been saved. And I got filled with the Holy Ghost and started going to Lakewood Church. And just had no idea I was going to be teaching and preaching. I just didn't have a clue. Never was an aspiration at all. You know, I was just happy to be saved. I was witnessing to people and sharing my faith and going to Lakewood and listening to Brother Osteen, man, and all those great speakers coming through there. And I'd sit there and I would see myself in that pulpit. I thought how crazy that was. See myself up there teaching. See myself up there preaching, you know. And I thought, well, that's just crazy. You know, just I never even gave it a second thought because it just wasn't anything that I really desired to do. But they'd say something, and I'd want to, boy, I wish he'd say this, you know. I'd sit there, and all that time I'm seeing myself up there, didn't know that, didn't realize that. And, of course, you know the story. God called me to teach later on while I was in a service at Lakewood. And then we began to minister at Lakewood. In fact, I filled in for Brother Osteen. On a Sunday morning when I was 23 years old, he actually got a hold of me. I was working on a construction job in a chemical plant. I was building a cooling tower, and I was called down to the guard shack because we didn't have cell phones back then. And I was called down to the guard shack, and I had a phone call. He was in Melody Land, California, and he was having revival. And he said, man, I just can't go. I'm going to have to, you know, he said, I've got to stay longer. And he called, I think he had Cherison, who was the secretary, got a hold of me, and I had got down the guard shack and got on the phone and asked me if I'd fill in for him that Sunday morning. Well, give a dog a bone. Of course I would. And I was 23, and Lakewood Church got up there, several thousand people got up and preached that morning. I stood up in that pulpit and preached to all those people. Choosing God's way. I remember preaching that. That life is a series of choices. You got a choice. You can choose God's way or not choose God's way. And then subsequently after that, we came over the counselors. We had like 175 counselors. They call them prayer partners now. When people, Brother Osteen would give the invitation, we'd pair up man with a man, woman with a woman, young person, older person, older person. And we'd go off to the counseling room for 15 minutes at the invitation and sit down with them, pray with them, and give them a scripture and see if they understood what they did when they accepted Jesus or whatever the thing was. And we were the head counselors. We sat right on the front row. And had 175 counselors. I taught in an auditorium class for 2 years straight on Sunday mornings. And I introduced guest speakers when Brother Osteen was out of town. I'd get up and receive the offerings and introduce those guest speakers. Man, that was just, you know, it was just amazing to me. And I was just a young guy. But I saw myself up there long before it ever happened. I saw myself doing that before it ever happened. And I wasn't being proud or arrogant. I just saw that. I saw that. I got a vision of that. Hallelujah. See, if you don't see it, you're not going to have it. It's not going to happen. If you don't dream it, behold the dreamer. That's what they said of Joseph. They made fun of him. But you know what? Everything Joseph dreamed came to pass, didn't it? Exactly like he said. See, don't lose your hope and don't lose your dreams and don't quit seeing what God says. If you can see it, you can have it. You need to rise up and you need to begin to walk in it. Turn over to Genesis 15. This helping anybody? Yes. I just want to stir you. Listen, I'm just a young buck from Center, Texas, most likely to fail before I met Jesus. Kicked out of high school, didn't finish high school, don't have a high school diploma. I did go get a GED a couple years after I got saved. Never was asked for it. Are you with me? Don't have a Bible school education, didn't go to Bible college. I'm for all that, I'm for education. But the point I'm making here is there's no excuse if God's called you to do something, asked you to do something, you can do it. You absolutely can do it. When God called me to teach, I was working as a laborer on a construction job. I had no money, I had no education, I had no influence. Are you with me? I'm just working, trying to pay my bills and feed my kids. Because Brenda was having those kids left and right. (laughs) But you know what? If God called you to it, you can do it. Amen. If God said you can have it, you can have it. If God says you can make it, you can make it. Come on. Don't give up. Don't look at yourself. Look from where you are and look out. Look at what God has done. Look at what God has provided. Look up to God and then look out to what else he has for you. Hallelujah. Here's a good quote. This is Terry Savelle Foy, Jerry Savelle's daughter. Says, I believe that everything we accomplish begins with a vision. You have to see where you're headed before you can start taking productive steps toward it. Well, if you don't know where you're going to go, you know, you don't know what direction to take. Before you can do something, you've got to imagine yourself doing it. Before you can have what God wants and what you want, you've got to imagine yourself having it. Before you can be who you're supposed to be, you've got to imagine yourself being it. That's out of her book called Imagine Big. Excellent book. It's a great book. I thought that was a good quote. Genesis 15, y'all found it? Okay, well, story of Abram. We're still going on with Abraham. Abram, before he was Abraham. Fifth verse. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven. See, he's still trying to broaden his horizon. Sometimes we just get locked in, don't we? We get so focused on our little world that we forget there's a big world out here. And we limit ourselves by that. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars if you be able to number them. And he said to them, so shall your seed be. And he believed in the Lord and he counted it to him for righteousness. Now we often quote that concerning, you know, we are righteous because we believed in the Lord, like Abraham believed in the Lord and it was counted to him for righteousness. But what he was talking about was vision. He was talking about what he was going to do in his life. What he was talking about was his future and his destiny and his hope. Hallelujah. Which included salvation, yes, which is about righteousness, no doubt. But it was still applied to your dreams, your vision, your hopes, your goals, and your prayers. Amen? We need to mix in believing God with our dreams. Come on. We need to put God into the equation. We need to get out of ourselves and into God. We need to look from where we are. We need to lift our eyes to the heavens. Hallelujah. Amen? And see the possibilities in our lives, with our children, with our family, with our business, with our ministry, with whatever God's called us to do. Even when we're praying for the sick, come on now, it comes down to witnessing to people, praying for people. You got to see what God can do. You got to see what can be and what will be. Are you with me? If you believe. You got to see more than what's going on. You can't see that sick person still sick. You can't see that lost person still lost. Amen? You can't see your hurting self still hurting. You got to get out of that. I'll tell you what's so cool here. I don't even know if you're ready for this. Y'all ready for this? Okay, you're not ready for it? Okay, you don't want to hear this? Okay. Amplified. Fifth verse. And he brought him outside his tent into the starlight. Can I say this? Listen to this. Would you please get out of your tent? Are you out there? We are stuck in our tent, aren't we? We got to get out of our tent, and it takes God to get us out of our tent into the starlight. Oh, man. I know I've said it many times. I'm still stuck on this. You got to get up on the roof. Things look different from the roof, don't they, Steve? You see a whole lot more, don't you? I mean, you get up on that roof all of a sudden, man, you can see a whole lot further. You can see a whole lot more. And if you'll get out of your tent, your little world, come on, your little limitations, all the things, the stops and checks and balances you put on yourself, and get out of yourself for a moment and step into God's world. Hallelujah. Step out of your tent and look into the starlight. You're going to see things you never saw before. You're going to see possibilities you never saw. You're going to have hope all of a sudden when you didn't have it before. You're going to start seeing you making it now. You got to get out of your tent. You got to open your eyes to what God's showing you, and you got to believe God concerning what he shows you. You got to believe it. Amen? If you believe God, it'll be counted to you for righteousness. It's one thing to step out of your tent. It's one thing to see what God's showing you. It's another thing to believe it once God shows it to you. Man. Boy, I'm getting stirred up. That's good stuff. Amen. See, you know, the problem with Peter when he walked on the water is he lost his focus. He was looking to Jesus when Jesus said, come. But he got his eyes on what was going on right then. He started looking at where he was instead of from where he was. Isn't that right? He started looking at circumstances, the wind, the waves, all those things going, all the why you can'ts, why you can't do this and why you can't do that, all the people never could do it and all the people that tried and died. Many have tried and many have died. Well, yeah, I'm going to break that record. So you got to have that attitude. You got to have the attitude, well, you know what? I'm going to have a testimony when this is all over, and we're going to see what God can do here, and you're going to see what God can do here. Amen? Because when it's all over, I'm still going to be standing, and God's going to get all the, it's not arrogance. God's going to get all the glory, and he's going to get all the praise, and there's going to be some people out there that see they can make it too. Somebody's got to come off that mountain, and somebody's got to kill that giant, and it might as well be you. The world is shaking in their boots, looking for a giant killer. Amen. And that giant killer's us. We just got to get that vision. We got to get that picture. I don't know what's going on in the world. I don't know what's going on in our government. The government doesn't even know what's going on in the government. Are you kidding me? They don't even know what's going on up there. But I know what God's doing, and I know what's going on in God's world, and I know I'm going to be just fine. Amen. Amen. I know I'm going to make it. Hallelujah. Can I share a few more with you? Well, just a couple more. Yeah. Oh, Cowboys don't play till 3:30. And you know, that's going to be a miracle. I'm seeing what no one else is seeing here. I'm believing they're all looking from where they are instead of looking at where they are. Okay, let's get off that. Philippians 3, we'll close out with this. Philippians 3rd chapter. It's talking about vision. And it would apply to anything. It, you know, it's, some people say, well, you know, that's not real spiritual. You're talking about finances and businesses. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? You mean when God blesses you financially, you shouldn't give him glory and you shouldn't give him credit? I'm going to tell you, that's what's wrong with the church, is we're not giving God glory for what he does, and we're actually giving him glory for what he doesn't do. We're thanking him for sickness and disease and poverty and all of our trials and troubles in the pulpit, and we ought to be standing up there thanking him for healing and deliverance and blessing us financially. Come on. The world needs to know God wants to bless you. The world needs to hear that God's good. How dare we stand up and accuse God of doing some of the things the devil does and actually give him credit and glory for it and thank him for it. If you want to thank somebody, get up and thank the devil. I just want to thank the devil today for all my problems. Don't do that. I wouldn't let you do that in church either. You need to thank God for getting you out of your problems. Amen. I don't want a segment of my life that I'm not going to give credit God for, a segment of blessing that he's blessed me with. Why would we not stand up and testify to God blessing us financially and blessing us with health and blessing us with joy and blessing us with kids and all and grandchildren and praise God for all the good things that he does? We need to testify, amen, because the world needs to hear that. Testimonies are just that. They're messages. They're shining lights is what they are. When I testify, I'm telling the world, hey, God's good. God did this for me. He'll do it for you. Amen? And it expands their horizon, causes them to see things they never saw before. Philippians 3, this is Paul, real familiar passage of Scripture. We'll close out with this, but this is good stuff. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. In other words, I'm not stopping. I'm not reaching a point where I'm going to quit. I haven't arrived. Yeah, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. I got that. Philippians 3:13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Y'all see that? So he's forgetting the things that are behind and he's reaching forth to the things that are before. Why is it we're hanging on to the things that are behind and we're ignoring the things that are before us? Well, I got this and I got that and I had this happen, I had that happen. Well, you don't know, I had this happen and that happen. Well, see what you're doing, you're holding, you're reaching forth for what's behind and you're ignoring what is before. What's before you is a bright future. What's before you is answered to your prayer. What's before you is the vision that God placed and the dream that God placed in your heart. That's what you ought to be reaching for instead of continually holding on and reaching back to the past. We got a million excuses why we can't achieve God's word, why we can't have God's promise. There may be a million reasons why you can't do what God says you can do, but you only need one good reason to do it, and that one good reason is God said you can't. And one good reason God said you can, it's in His Word, will negate a million reasons why you can't. What we got to do is reach forward to the things that are before us, not to things that are presently with us or behind us. Brethren, I count not myself to apprehend it, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press. Everybody say press. You got to press in. You got to press in like the woman with the issue of blood who pressed through the crowd. You got to press through the crowd of thoughts that say you can't make it. You got to press through the crowd of memories of failures in your life and sins that you committed and reasons why you can't do this. There is a crowd around you keeping you from Jesus, but if you can press through that crowd of thoughts and this crowd of negative ideas and crowd of bad experience and failures in your life, if you can press through them, you can grab a hold of Jesus' garment and you can get your miracle. But you're going to have to press to get there. You're going to have to fight, and you're going to have to move forward. You know, a runner doesn't run backwards, runs forward. Doesn't stop, he's always moving. I used to get tickled when John Madden was a sports caster, and he would come up with the strangest commentary. But anyway, you either loved him or you hated him. John was just a different kind of guy. He didn't fly in planes. He drove everywhere in a bus. Take him forever to get across the country, you know, to a ball game. But he would say things that were just so profound, you know. He would talk about a running back. He'd say, oh, look at him, look at him. His feet never stop moving. Look at him, his feet keep moving. Now, that was profound. I didn't even notice that. But anyway, he would say things like that. But you know what? Think about it. If your feet keep moving, you got a chance of going somewhere, don't you? But if you stop your feet from moving, you're going to stop going forward. Now, that was just a silly thing he'd say. And I'd sit there and laugh at some of the stuff he'd come up with, you know, and he's always drawing on his, now see here, you got this circle here, and you go here, he's going this way. And he for a long, you couldn't see anything because he's always drawing stuff on a board, you know. But what a profound thing, a simple thing, a silly thing that I laughed about many, many times. Look at him. His feet keep moving. Well, of course your feet keep moving. That's what you do when you're running back. You move your feet, you know. And when they try to tackle you, you just keep moving your feet. But the point is, you don't give up, see. You're going forward. So I don't know what's going on with your life, but I know this. We ought to be reaching forth to the things which are before. We ought to press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. If you've ever done any farming, if you've ever been in a tractor, which I have, if you're plowing, the only way to plow a straight line this is really profound, and any farmer knows this. Anybody that's ever been on a tractor knows this. If you're going to plow a straight line, you fix a point, usually a fence post way off somewhere, and you focus in on that post, and you start plowing. You don't look down at what you're doing. If you do that, you're going to have rows like this, because it's just impossible to keep a straight line by looking down like this while you're plowing and looking back like that. You keep a straight line by looking down the road. Are you with me? In fact, if you're in the wilderness, anybody that's ever read anything about mountain men, they fix a point way off somewhere. And they keep it in view because that's where they're going. They don't go from here to that chair and from that chair to that chair and from this chair to that. Before long, they're zigzagging all over the place. You've got to have a long view to keep straight and to achieve your destination. And it's the closest distance between two spots, straight line. Amen? So, if you want to plow a straight row, you fix your eyes on an object a great distance away. Amen? You don't look straight down. You walk straight in life with your attention on the object called Jesus. Are you with me? Way down the road. And if you go through life looking at your past, then you'll be backing into your future. That's why we have this little bitty rearview mirror and we got this big windshield. The rearview mirror is good for perspective, but you don't spend much time there. Amen? So, in closing, Philippians 3, 13, 14. Keep going forward. Forget the past. Pursue the future God has for you. And press in. Be aggressive. You got to be aggressive about it. You got to be purposeful about it. I said this, I think, a couple weeks ago. You know, if Jesus tarries and you don't pass away, don't go on to be with Jesus, about 3 years from now, you're going to be somewhere. Some of us are going to be there on purpose. So if you want to be where you're going to be 2 years from now, 3 years from now, on purpose, then you need to start heading that direction right now. Amen. Where do you want to be 2 years from now? Where do you want to be 3 years from now? Where do you want to be 10 years from now? Who knows when Jesus will come back? Could come back today, but I'm working like he's never coming back. I'm living as if he could come back any second, but I'm occupied until he comes. Amen. And I've got plans and I've got dreams and I've got goals and I'm heading somewhere. Hallelujah. And it shouldn't be any surprise when we get there. Amen.